You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. I'm also the co-editor of Dunking with Wolves, the Timberwolves site on the Fansided Network. Happy Friday, everybody. Happy end of the work week and happy weekend. The Timberwolves take on the Philadelphia 76ers this evening, returning home after losing two games on the road to Golden State on Monday and Wednesday. Last time they were at home, they won last Saturday, defeating the New Orleans Pelicans. Hopefully, the 76ers will still be coming, flying a little bit high after a buzzer-beating win over the Lakers on Wednesday. So today on the show, we will talk about the Wolves-Sixers game. We'll preview that here in a little bit. First, though, I did have my friend Kyle Daugherty on the show. He was on, I guess, last about a month ago talking Wolves Jazz way back when the Wolves were 2-0. We talked win total over-unders before the season, and we've talked draft and some different things with him in the past. So he's on the show to talk about basically the quarter poll analysis of the NBA so far. We're at about the 25% mark of the schedule. We're going to talk, basically buying and selling teams that are in the playoff race in either conference or aren't. What teams are in the playoff race right now in the top eight in either conference that won't be when it's all said and done, and what teams are out of the playoffs that will be in the playoffs when the season's over. So I get his thoughts, give my thoughts. We'll go through both conferences. That'll be most of the show today. And then we'll close out by talking Wolves Sixers and what Minnesota might expect from Philadelphia on Friday. Of course, the Sixers have the best record in the Eastern Conference, so it won't be an easy game for what's probably still going to be a shorthanded Timberwolves team. Again, no Towns, no Russell the last couple of games, and Jarrett Culver is also out with a sprained ankle. So we'll go through all that stuff here in a little bit. First, though, a quick reminder, you can subscribe to this show on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google, wherever you get podcasts. You can also follow on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. All right. Without further ado, let's go ahead and welcome in Kyle Daugherty and let's talk all things NBA landscape so far, buying and selling pretenders and contenders. All that good stuff is coming up right now. All right. As promised, I have Kyle Daugherty with me today. We are talking buy or sell both Eastern and Western Conference teams, basically a contenders or pretenders conversation. Who's in the playoff picture right now that will not be in the playoffs when it's all said and done in May or whenever the season ends, and also contenders, players or teams that are not currently in the playoff picture, will they be in the playoff picture at the end of the season? There's at least a few teams in each conference that figure to flip either direction. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. Hopefully you're ready, Kyle, to go ahead and talk through probably most of these teams, because right now the standings look kind of screwy. I mean, we're roughly a quarter of the way through the season. But I still don't know, with the weird number of blowout losses, what, I don't know. I don't know what any of this means at this point.
Yeah, it's been a really weird season, and it makes it even weirder because we don't have what the second half of the schedule is going to look like. So, we can talk a lot about these teams, and obviously the second half isn't going to drastically change from a strength of schedule perspective, but we don't know what the second half of the schedule is going to look like. So I think it's a lot of eye test and seeing what these teams have looked like and saying, hey, is this really what they are? Or are they going to be different as they go into the season?
Yeah. So I think what we'll do is we'll basically, let's start with the Eastern Conference. And we'll basically just say, here are the playoff teams. Which of these teams would you sell on them being a contender? Which of these teams will for sure fall out of the playoff picture come the end of the season? So right now in the Eastern Conference, you have the Sixers and the Bucks in the top two spots. Everybody knows they're going to be playoff teams, but we could also, you could theoretically sell them as, hey, the Sixers aren't going to be the one, the Bucks won't be the two. I don't know that there's a huge argument to be had there, but then it's the Pacers, Nets, Celtics at five, Cleveland Cavs are at six, the Hawks are at seven, and the Knicks are at eight, tied with the Orlando Magic, for the 8/9 spot in the East. Of course, the, top 10 teams will make postseason play. So right now the 10th team would be the Chicago Bulls, would be in a play-in game against the 9th seeded Orlando Magic. Of those teams, Sixers, Bucks, Pacers, Nets, Celtics, Cavs, Hawks, and Knicks, which of those teams do you think are least likely to make the playoffs, Kyle?
Well, I don't think the Cavs are going to stick around. Kudos to their coaching staff and their team this year. They've done an awesome job of being competitive in all their games. I think they'll eventually fall out. When you look outside the playoffs right now, in the East, you've got the Raptors and the Heat. So you got to imagine there's two teams that are going to fall out of that top 10 right now that those two teams will take their spot, because I think we know that the Raptors and the Heat just aren't, they're not the, you know, the 12th and the 13th best team in the Eastern Conference. And so looking at the Hawks as well, or the Cavs, and probably the Magic dropping out of that top 10.
Yeah. The thing with the Raptors, I mean, they started the season terribly. I think they've lost a couple in a row, but they were, I don't know, like 1-6 or something at one point. And they're the only team not currently in the playoff picture with a positive point differential. Barely. They're a positive 0.5 in the point differential so far this season. So that, of course, suggests they've had a little bit of bad luck. Their record is probably a little better, should be better than 7-11. Maybe it's, you know, 8-10, but if it was 8-10, they'd be in the eight seed instead of the 11 or whatever they're in now. So I think that's definitely fair. You know, even if they're not going to be as good as they were last year, and last year they maybe outperformed expectations a little because Nick Nurse is such a good coach. And that certainly factors into it. I mean, good coaching can certainly outperform expectations when you look at the advanced metrics and the point differentials. So I think that's a pretty clear one. The Heat are another obvious answer. I mean, you're looking at a team that's got two top 20 players in Bam Adebayo and Jimmy Butler. They've lost four in a row, so it's been, you know, gone kind of downhill for them recently. But right now, I mean, they're still only technically like a game and a half out of the playoff picture. So seeing them turn it around a little bit wouldn't be a shock. In terms of teams in the playoffs right now, I mean, you mentioned the Cavs. Do you think, so if you look at the Cavs, Hawks, and Knicks, which two of those teams do you think are most likely to not make the playoffs?
Cavs, Hawks, Knicks. I would say the Cavs and the Knicks. I think the Hawks have just too much talent. They played a couple games where they look great. They play a couple games where they don't look great. But I think overall they've got enough talent that it'll play through. I think I'm really impressed with the Knicks and what Thibodeau has done there this year. But I think that'll fall by the wayside a little bit as they go through the season. We know he's got a huge propensity to overplay minutes, and so that could wear on some of their top players as they go through the rest of the season. And like I said earlier, the Cavs, they've outplayed any expectation anybody had for them this year. Just they've been competitive in every game, but I think overall the Hawks are too talented to not make the playoffs.
Yeah, and of those three teams too, for whatever it's worth, I mean, the Cavs would be the one that would be, I guess you could call it, least incentivized to make the playoffs. You know, the Knicks are trying to be as good as they possibly can because they're the Knicks and because Tibbs would never do anything else. He just wants to win games, which is great. And of course, they still fancy themselves as a hot free agent destination. We'll see how that plays out for them. They haven't landed a free agent besides Amari in the last 20 years. But I mean, the Hawks, obviously, they retooled in the offseason. Danilo Gallinari's been hurt. They've had some other, Bogdanovich was hurt and just recently returned. So they've had some injuries and are still 500, still have a positive point differential. And I think it's very likely that they end up in kind of that 6-7 range when it's all said and done in the East. I think the top five are probably pretty well set. Obviously not in that order, but Sixers, Bucks, Pacers, Nets, Celtics. If you had said, you know, if you'd asked who the top five teams in the East were before the season, with the possible exception of you'd maybe put the Raptors in there instead of, I don't know, I would have put them in there instead of the Pacers, but that's certainly top five of the top six teams coming into the season. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah. And I think it'll be curious to see what the Pacers continue to do. Obviously they played the first part of their season with Oladipo, and he's now a Houston Rocket, and they're, you know, it's a great story on the Carousel Court that they're able to find the kidney cancer that they're able to kind of get the surgery done during that trade. But he's out for an indefinite amount of time. So does that do anything to them over the next, 15, 20 games while maybe they drop a little bit further lower in the playoff race?
Yeah. So I think what do you think about Sixers Bucks? I mean, obviously, again, we're at the quarter pole of the season, so plenty is going to happen, trades, injuries, all that stuff. But at this point, I mean, what are your thoughts on the top of the conference? Who's winning the East, and will, if it's not the Sixers, will the Sixers finish in second, or how will that play out?
I think the Bucks are going to end up being number one again in the Eastern Conference. Based on Basketball Reference's simple rating system, they're the second best team in the league by a pretty wide margin, behind just the Lakers. I think the Sixers have obviously played really well. They had a buzzer beater with Tobias Harris last night against the Lakers. And so I think there's some good stuff there for them, but I still think they're a notch below the Bucks. And then I'm curious to see what the Kyrie, Harden, Durant kind of triumvirate looks like as they continue to build chemistry throughout the season. Does that get better? Does it get worse? Because start to continue to find out that there's only one ball. So I think those, I would target those three with the Celtics maybe just a little bit behind them.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that, actually. I think I've been a little bit lower on the Celtics the last couple of years, actually. But yeah, I think the Bucks are the best team in the East. I think the Sixers are pretty clearly the second best team. And then it's Nets or Celtics are going to be third. And your point about the Pacers is fair, too, with LeVert being out indefinitely. So we're mostly in agreement in terms of the top of the East. We both think that the Cavs and Knicks will fall out of the playoff picture. I guess one last thing on the East. I mean, that play-in thing is going to be weird in the Eastern Conference because you're going to have some combination of, I mean, at this point, it seems likely Cavs, Knicks, Magic, Bulls, Hornets, and then you've still got the Heat in there somewhere too. I mean, so it's going to be, I don't know, you're going to have teams clearly under 500, I guess, in both conferences battling it out in those play-in games. At this point, for me, I think it'd be fun to see Charlotte at one of those games. I mean, they're one of the more fun bad teams in the league, obviously, with LaMelo Ball and Devontae Graham and others. But I think, I don't know. I think I'd like to see them in that game. I think the Magic could be fun in that game, although they're obviously depleted due to injuries as well. Who are you looking at as the teams to kind of bring up the rear in the Eastern Conference playoff picture?
So I think you mentioned it right away with the Hornets. I think, you know, Gordon Hayward going there, there was a lot of people. He was kind of the terrible signing of the free agency of everybody. He was overpaid by the Hornets, and he's obviously made a huge difference. He's an adult in the room there. Obviously they've been super competitive in all their games, even though they've lost quite a few already. But like you said, they're a fun team to watch. They've got a lot of young guys still on that team, but with Gordon Hayward kind of leading the way. But I'm really curious to see the Cavs. We mentioned them earlier. I still think, you know, even if they're dropping out a little bit, they've been so competitive, maybe they're able to stick around, that maybe be that 9-10 seed if there's some other injuries for some of those other teams.
Yeah, and we obviously don't know what they're going to do on the trade front. You know, there's rumors about whether it's Andre Drummond or Kevin Love, or they've got Jared Allen now. Like, who's going to be on the block or who is on the block? What kind of moves could they make, you know, here in the next few coming weeks as teams are starting to kind of get a good sense for what they have? The trade deadline this year is not until March, but we're going to start hearing more of those rumors here coming up soon. Before we get to the Western Conference, though, let's talk about our friends at betonline.ag. I talked about this the other day, but I'm all in on betonline.ag at this point. And I actually hit the over in Wolves Warriors on Wednesday night, and it went down to the wire. I was rooting for Nico Mannion to make free throws at the end of the game, which, you know, is not usually how I like to spend my Wednesday nights, but there I was, and he missed them both, but the Warriors still ended up hitting the over on a James Wiseman dunk. So I was really excited about that. And I don't know. I mean, we like to talk betting. Any thoughts on betonline.ag? Anything you like to bet in particular?
I'm on a losing streak, so I wouldn't follow any of my advice currently. But I think there's been a lot of fun games this year, and I think that's led to good nights and bad nights on the betting front. I think there's been a lot of blowouts, which has been the hardest thing to gauge when gambling this year. So. But make sure to get to betonline.ag to get those bets placed every night.
Yeah, the weird number of blowout wins and losses are certainly a wrench in the whole thing. Of course, you can listen to Locked On Bets, which is the new daily podcast on the Locked On Network. And your boy Q and Lee Sterling will have all the best bets for every day, prop bets for the Super Bowl. Of course, the Super Bowl is like 10 days away. So there's tons of fun prop bets. At some point, Kyle and I are going to talk about our prop bets for the Super Bowl. And of course, NBA, college basketball, anything you want to bet on is there. Don't sit on the sidelines any longer. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts. All right, we're going to talk Western Conference. Before we do that, though, let's talk about Locked On Today. We're covering everything that you need to know about the Minnesota Timberwolves and today, really the NBA as a whole. But what about the rest of sports? Now, the Locked On Podcast Network has you covered there as well with Locked On Today. It's hosted by the fantastic Peter Bukowski, and it's all the sports news that you need every morning in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to the Locked On Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. All right, let's talk about the Western Conference and contenders, pretenders, you know, buying and selling, however you want to phrase it. Right now, the playoff teams in the Western Conference are the number one seed would be the Utah Jazz. They've won 10 in a row. And then after that, the LA Lakers, of course, who lost a heartbreaker at the buzzer on the road in Philadelphia as part of a long road trip on Wednesday. And then the LA Clippers, Denver Nuggets, Portland Trailblazers, Golden State, San Antonio Spurs, Memphis Grizzlies. You look at that top four, Jazz, Lakers, Clippers, Nuggets. It's not the same order that we would have predicted at the start of the year. But after a really weird first couple of weeks, that's probably the right top four teams, at least coming into the season. That's what I would have expected. And then you have the Spurs 7, Grizzlies 8. Then right now, 9 and 10 are the Suns and Thunder. The Suns, of course, started the year really hot, have been struggling a little bit more of late, but still have a positive point differential. And I think a lot of people feel like they're going to be a playoff team. The Thunder have been a huge surprise, but there could be some luck in there as well. They've won some close games. What are your initial reactions to the teams who would be in the playoffs if they started today, and which of those teams do you think are most likely to fall out of the playoff picture come spring?
So I think we've talked about it a number of times. I think, as you mentioned right off the top, I think the top four, not necessarily in the order that they're currently in, but I think the thing I'm most surprised about the top four would be the Lakers coming out of the gate this hot. I think a lot of people thought with the how long last season took to finish up in such a short turnaround that they would maybe be a slow starter, maybe LeBron and AD taking some more nights off for load management. The fact that they've come out of the gate this hot and they've had the ability to really mix up their lineups, change up their different scenarios, and Vogel's done an unbelievable job there. And I think they're deeper than ever. I still think, even though they're number two in the West right now, I think they're the team to beat in the NBA. They've done nothing to show me otherwise right now.
Yeah. I think the Lakers will finish as the one seed. And I think, like I said a minute ago, I think that top four is probably going to stay as the top four in the West. The Clippers are very good. I think we'll end up with something very similar to last year, like Lakers, Clippers, Nuggets, Jazz as the top four is probably the most likely scenario. For me, I think the Warriors have outperformed expectations a little. I do think that they're going to fall out at least to the top eight. Then they're probably more likely going to be in that play-in range. Same with Memphis. I mean, Memphis hasn't played in forever. They had won five straight and they're now 7-6 and they're eighth, but they've played, three less games than the Suns and five less games than the Spurs, who they're just behind. So there's also some weird, because of the COVID health and safety protocols and games being postponed, the games played numbers are so weird right now that factors into it as well. I do think the Thunder right now are 10th. I still think they finish in the bottom three in the West, somewhere among Sacramento, the Timberwolves, and I guess those are probably the bottom three teams in some order, Oklahoma City, Sacramento, and Minnesota. In terms of teams not currently in the playoffs, the team that I would look at that I think will have a much better final 70% or so of the season is the Dallas Mavericks. They're only 8-10, which probably in a normal year, I mean, that puts them like 9th or 10th. But again, because of the lack of games played by Memphis, they're still ahead of Dallas. I think that Dallas will figure it out. I think they'll get it together a little bit. Maxi Kleber has been out due to health and safety protocols, and he was having a really good season. Luka Doncic is unbelievable, obviously, but this team has really struggled defensively, which everybody knew is going to be their downfall. Still, I think that they have enough offensive firepower that they're going to end up being like the sixth or seventh seed in the West and gain a lot of ground. So for me, that's the one team currently outside the playoff picture that I think will get back in.
Yeah, I agree with that completely. I know they got thrashed by the Jazz last night, mostly due to the inability of Kristaps playing pick and roll. The Jazz without Donovan Mitchell, to mention that as well, just ran Ingles, Clarkson, Conley with Gobert screens all night and destroyed the Mavs. I was expecting them to be better defensively. Like you said, they missed a huge part of their rotation to start the season due to the health and safety protocol. So I think they end up in the number 5-6 seed probably if they continue to get healthier and to have access to those players going forward. I'm really curious to get your opinion on the Pelicans. I think I expected more out of them. Obviously they're a super young team and, they traded they exchanged Drew Holiday for Bledsoe. Curious to see what your opinion, I know the Wolves have played them recently. What are your thoughts on the Pelicans?
Yeah. I mean, the Pelicans they lost a bunch of games recently and I guess they won their most recent one, but it was against the Wizards. And besides that, like they haven't had a good win in 3 weeks. And some of their losses have been really bad too. I mean, they've lost to the Hornets. They've lost to the Thunder recently. They were blown out by the Jazz twice. They got beat by the Timberwolves. I think their problem is it's a combination of defense and it's a lack of consistent floor spacing, and they haven't figured out how to play hard consistently for Stan Van Gundy, which is obviously an issue. But like, just in the game against the Wolves, I mean, I don't know that I've ever seen the Wolves play against a JJ Redick team and have JJ Redick not make like seven threes against the Timberwolves. And that's been an issue for them. And he's the only guy that's like a consistent plus outside shooter for that team outside of Brandon Ingram. Right now, the Pelicans are 27th in the league in three-point percentage, and they're 26th in three-point attempts. And Zion Williamson's a force, obviously, but he's not going to bring, you know, outside shooting to the table, and they have other guys on the team that need to do that, and they just haven't done that consistently. And then on top of that, they just haven't been very good defensively, which is a deadly mix. And in the West, I mean, you have to win some of those difficult games. They had a couple nice wins at the start of the season. They beat the Raptors twice. They beat the Spurs, which is important because Pelicans and Spurs will probably be in the conversation. You know, there could be a tiebreaker at play there. But they also had some close losses. I mean, they beat the Thunder once and then lost to them by 1 point in another game, which is part of the reason why I think the Thunder are going to come back down to earth a little bit. They've had outstanding luck in close games, and I'm not sure that lasts all season long. So I still think the Pelicans will end up, you know, fighting for that 10th spot. I don't know that they finish much ahead of that. But I think there's a pretty clear bottom three in the West, and it's going to be the Thunder, the Timberwolves, and the Sacramento Kings. And I think the Pelicans and the Rockets are going to be kind of fighting it out to try and get up to the 10th spot and make the playoffs. I also think Memphis will take a little bit of a step back once they get back to playing as well.
Well, it's good to see John Morant back so quickly. I was expecting him to be out much longer. So them getting him back, and some of those games that they lost were due to him being out of the lineup. And so I still think that they're fighting, and I would expect that the Grizzlies are among the top 10, if not solidly among the top 8, just because of Ja Morant, just the way he's been playing recently.
Yeah, and they're actually, I think they're kind of fun to watch. They play at a pretty fast pace. It's not the same Memphis team that, you know, it's certainly not the grit and grind team, but they'll play slow too. I mean, they'll play at any pace that they need to play to win a game, and I enjoy watching them because they can kind of, they're so good defensively, and they can turn that defense into offense when it's there, and when it's not, they're more than content to slow it down and, you know, and run their offense in the half court as well. And with Ja Morant, Tyus Jones, they've got great point guard play. They've got a ton of fun young players. Desmond Bane, the rookie this year, Brandon Clark is another guy that a lot of Timberwolves fans wanted them to get. Dylan Brooks is fun to watch. It's a fun team. And I wouldn't mind seeing them in the playoff mix. If it's not going to be the Timberwolves, which at this point, it seems pretty unlikely, Memphis, you know, kind of, you know, fighting maybe with New Orleans for that 10 spot, 9-10 spot would be a lot of fun down the stretch in the season. Any other thoughts at all on the Western Conference teams that you feel like are outperforming, you know, how good they actually are, or teams that are vastly underperforming at this point?
I think it's, you know, based on the eye test, obviously I think Denver is missing some of the defense of Jeremy Grant and some of those departures in the offseason. I don't know if they've really filled that hole. Obviously, you know, they've got Jamal Murray and Jokic, but Murray hasn't been what he was in the playoffs last year. I think everybody expected him to come and be kind of the lightning rod that he was then, and he hasn't been very great this season. So I expected him to be a little bit better, but I think they'll be fine. And Malone's obviously a really great coach, and I think that'll put him in a spot to be among the top four. I think the thing that surprised me the most is, you know, as a Jazz fan, they typically are really slow starters out of the gate, and usually use the middle to end of the season to go on a big run. So to see him playing this well this early, I think goes to the credit of kind of keeping all the players that they had last season, but having Bojan be healthy and some of that stuff. And so I think I've been really, really surprised and impressed by their combination of offense and defense this year.
Awesome. So I mean, I think we're we were pretty much in agreement, actually. You look at the Eastern Conference, we think that the Cavs and the Knicks are going to fall out. The Raptors and the Heat will jump back up into the conversation. We'll have some fun with Charlotte and teams like that that are fighting it out. Charlotte and the Bulls would be fun to watch, trying to get the 9 and 10, the play-in spots. And in the West, we feel like the top four is pretty well set in terms of the teams, just not in the right order. And then we're looking at likely Golden State and Memphis kind of falling into the 9-10 range. The Suns getting back up and the Mavericks getting back up into the playoff conversation. And then, the bottom three, pretty clearly the Kings, Timberwolves, and Thunder. I don't know. I think things are still very much, there hasn't been like one major surprise to this point in the season in terms of teams that have been extremely good. I think Miami and Toronto are the two biggest surprises, teams that are a lot worse than we thought they'd be, maybe Dallas. But besides that, things are starting to kind of, at that 25% to 33% of the season, things are starting to shake out about how I think we all expected them to.
Do you think, so we talked about the trade deadline just a couple minutes back. Do you think with the 10 playoffs, the play-in game, do you think that changes what the trade deadline looks like? That more teams are in the running for it, so they feel like they can make a run at it, or there's not as many sellers, so it's pretty quiet trade deadline. What do you think happens?
Yeah, I actually think it's going to mean less trades. And I know that's not fun. It's not what anybody wants to hear. But I think because there's so many teams that think they have a chance, the teams are going to be less willing to sell off their pieces. Like the Cavs, for instance, we talked about them earlier. They're tied for sixth in the East right now, which is crazy. And I don't think that they think that they're actually that good. Colin Sexton's been a pleasant surprise this year. He's improved quite a bit over his rookie season. But are they a playoff team? Do they think that they're a playoff team? And will they trick themselves into not making a move and not, selling off assets to, get draft picks or expiring contracts for the future because they think they're a playoff team? I think you're going to have teams in that conversation. The Knicks are another one that may not be willing to give up pieces that are valuable rotation pieces because they think that they can make the playoffs or at least make the play-in game. It's also what could keep a team like the Timberwolves from. I think the Timberwolves will probably do something because we know that their front office wants to do something. The Wolves aren't going to make the playoffs, but they're still only 3.5 games out of the play-in spot. And Karl-Anthony Towns has only played in 4 of their 17 games. So you could talk yourself into, if you're the Timberwolves, over the next couple of weeks being like, oh man, if we get Towns back, we could be in the play-in game. We don't own our pick next year anyways, except for it's top three protected, but otherwise, they trade it. It's owed to the Warriors. So, the Pelicans, the Pelicans aren't going to trade off pieces. They're 6-10. They think they've got a shot at the playoffs. They want to win now. The Wizards and the Pistons are maybe the only teams right now, maybe the Kings, although the Kings are still only a couple games out. Those are really the only teams right now that you would say for sure would be willing to sell. The Pistons and Wizards, you can make a case for the Timberwolves and the Kings. But everybody else, at least at the quarter pole of the season, thinks that they have a chance at making the playoffs. So I feel like that means less activity. I hope I'm wrong, and I'm hoping the Timberwolves can find a way to put together a blockbuster if it's, one of these giant names that's out there, Bradley Beal, or get involved in a trade where Ben Simmons is going somewhere. And if the Sixers fall on hard times here at some point, could there be an opportunity for the Timberwolves to get involved? I think that'd be great, but I'm afraid that we're going to have a quiet deadline.
Yeah. I think it means that, like you said, it's quiet and it'll lead to teams evaluating their whole season and making a move in the off season or leading up to the draft, before they make a big move, because, like you said, outside of really the Pistons and the Wizards, there's and they don't necessarily they've Bradley Beal is really their only tradable asset between probably those two teams that anybody would want right now. There's really not a lot out there to really, I think, change a playoff race or change a team from being a maybe middle of the pack playoff team to being a contender. And do teams say, hey, we think the Lakers are going to win this year? They're clearly the best team outside of an injury to LeBron or AD. Is this really the year to chase it versus waiting another year?
Right. Yeah, that's another good point. That there's clearly dominant teams, whether it's the Lakers, not record wise, but they really seem like they're head and shoulders above everybody else in the West and in the East, the Bucks and the Sixers. If you're not one of those teams, but you could say that almost every year, it's very rare that we would just say, oh yeah, it's wide open, in the NBA and teams are still trying to get into that playoff picture. And again, with those 9 and 10 play-in seeds, I think you're going to have teams that talk themselves into, oh yeah, we can make the playoffs and sell hope to our fan base. And with little few fans in the stands this year, teams are trying to sell season tickets for next year already. So I think that's going to play into it as well. And you're just not going to see that many teams kind of mailing it in. Now it is important to note it's a shorter season too. So however that plays into it, you know, and you've got trade deadline and All-Star weekend and all that stuff upcoming. So things are about to get a little bit crazier, but you know, sitting here right now, everything's kind of played out pretty much as expected, I think. Any final thoughts at all on, I don't know, I guess we're talking about the NBA as a whole. Any final thoughts on the NBA as a whole?
I think I'll be curious to see what players look like as they continue to go through the rest of the season. I think, you know, we've noticed that a couple of players, Luka to be specific, he kind of is playing himself into shape. I know there's been a number of comments made that they weren't expecting to start back up in December. So I'm curious to see if players, some of these teams that like the Heat, the Raptors, if they are actually going to be able to make a turnaround or if this is just who they are at this point. And so I think seeing how COVID will continue to impact health and safety protocols and how that'll affect teams, you know, being able to take the court. So that'll continue to be an issue as we finish out this season.
All right. Next up, I want to get into previewing the Timberwolves Sixers game on Friday night. Thanks, Kyle, for joining me to talk all things NBA.
Thanks, Ben.
First, before we talk Wolves Sixers, let's talk about Built Bar. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar of all time. Guarantee it tastes just like a candy bar. Enjoyed Cherry Barcia the other day, cookies and cream, caramel brownie, mint brownie, salted caramel, toffee almond, all my favorite flavors. I don't have a single favorite flavor. I have like six. There's actually 18 to choose from, including both nut and non-nut flavors. All the bars are 100% covered in chocolate and soft, easy to chew. They're perfect if you're health conscious. They can help you lose weight or maintain weight. Have them as a snack, meal replacement, whatever you want to do, late night snack. For me, it's on my way home. If I'm driving, it's a fantastic treat to have in the car. They're all low calorie, low in sugar, high in protein, and high in fiber. Perfect for a keto diet. Also, right now, for a limited time only, you can get a free cooler with your purchase, but only while supplies last. Go to BuiltBar.com. Use promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. Right now on the Rejecting the Screen podcast feed, hosts Adam Stanko and Noah Kozlov are honoring Kobe Bryant's life and career with a two-part special podcast event. Hear stories you haven't heard anywhere else about Kobe from teammates, opponents, coaches, and journalists. Get both parts by subscribing to the Rejecting the Screen podcast feed after this podcast. All right, let's talk about the Timberwolves and the 76ers game, of course, taking place this evening. The Sixers are coming off a big win, a buzzer beater over the LA Lakers in a game they led the entire way virtually until the very end of the game. The Lakers went on a long, I think it was a 13-0 run, came back, took a brief lead. Tobias Harris hits a game winner at the buzzer. The Lakers had no timeouts and got a half court heave up from Anthony Davis, but Tobias Harris wins the game at the end in a game the Sixers led pretty much throughout. They're up 10 after the first quarter, up 4 at halftime, up 7 going into the fourth quarter, and then ultimately won by a single point. The Sixers are the best team in the East right now in terms of record, 13-6. Tobias Harris has been really good lately. Joel Embiid continues to be amazing, although he did get banged up when he was shoved to the floor by LeBron in the game against the Lakers on Wednesday. Simmons had a triple-double last time out, 17, 11 rebounds, and 10 assists against the Lakers. And the Sixers have made some good moves on the fringes to make their rotation a little bit stronger. You know, Seth Curry's a starter for this team now. Dwight Howard off the bench. Tyrese Maxey, the rookie, has been pretty good. Shake Milton's been really good for this team. And they really rely heavily on their starters. They did, especially in this Lakers game. It was obviously a game that Doc Rivers really wanted to win. And I mean, it's a deep team, but again, they don't necessarily rely on their bench all that heavily. Right now, they're a game ahead of the Bucks for the best team in the Eastern Conference. They've been really solid on defense, which is probably, I guess, maybe the most surprising thing. Obviously, we know Ben Simmons is a good defender. Joel Embiid can be a good defender. But I mean, it's a team that starts Seth Curry. You know, Danny Green's a good defender, I guess, and he's a big part of what they're doing right now, too. But the Timberwolves are going to have a tough time scoring against this team, especially if Karl-Anthony Towns remains out. At this point, we don't know if he'll be available or not. It seems pretty unlikely. There was no update from Ryan Saunders on Wednesday before the Warriors game. But I mean, the Sixers are a team that they don't shoot a ton of threes. They don't play. They do play very fast and they're good in transition. And don't have too many bad losses on their ledger. There was obviously some uncertainty surrounding them when James Harden was ultimately traded. I mean, there were all those rumors. Simmons was basically told he could expect to be traded. But since that time, the Sixers have been really good. They've won six of their last eight games. They beat the Heat twice. I guess it was right after Jimmy Butler went out with COVID or for health and safety protocols. They beat the Celtics twice in that span. They beat the Lakers. They do have a loss to Memphis and a loss to Detroit. Those are their two losses in the past 3 weeks, which aren't great. And they had a little losing streak before that. Nets, Nuggets, Hawks. You know, the Hawks is really the only bad one in there. So they pretty much won the games they're supposed to win this season and have apparently motored right through the potential trade drama for James Harden. And obviously Daryl Morey in their front office is going to continue to try and look to make major moves. But the Wolves, what they need to do in this game is rebound the ball well. The Sixers are a really good rebounding team, especially on the defensive glass. And the Wolves rely heavily right now, with no Towns especially, to try and get extra possessions. They miss a ton of shots. The Wolves are not a good shooting team, especially with no Towns and who knows about D'Angelo Russell's status. The Wolves need to try their best to get some second chance points in this game. That's really their best chance. The Sixers are a very good defensive team, both in steals and blocks and just opponent field goal percentage. All those numbers are really good for the Sixers. Perimeter defenders like Simmons and Green make life difficult. Tobias Harris has solid length. Joel Embiid can block shots in the paint. And this team can make things difficult for you. And the Wolves, I've said this before, I'll say it again, offense has been a bigger concern for them even than defense recently. They actually scrambled and played pretty hard against the Warriors this week and just ultimately could not keep pace on the offensive end because they just couldn't make shots. So we'll see. I mean, if Jalen Noel gets some extra run, I wrote about that at Dunking with Wolves. I think he should get the opportunity to play as part of the regular rotation, certainly with no Towns and Russell. And it's tough to make the case for Noel to not get minutes. You know, we don't know if Jarrett Culver will play. He missed Wednesday's game with the sprained ankle. But if Culver is playing, I mean, you got Culver, Okogie, Lehman, those guys are all, in Culver and Okogie's case, well below average shooters. And the Wolves have been one of the league's worst three-point shooting teams this year. They need to get more scoring punch, especially on the wing. They need to help Malik Beasley out with no Russell and no Towns. So here I am clamoring for more minutes for Jalen Noel. Hopefully we see that on Friday. If nothing else, though, it's going to be a difficult game. It's in Minnesota. The Wolves are back home to play the Sixers, and then they have a couple games against Cleveland, who's been 500 to this point this year, and a surprise, but certainly winnable games. And perhaps the Sixers will still be coming off of the high from their buzzer beating win over the defending champs on Wednesday. So maybe the Wolves will make a game of it on Friday. So enjoy the game this evening. We'll be back, of course, on Monday. The show is daily Monday through Friday, so we'll sum all things up from the weekend for the Timberwolves, look ahead to the week ahead as well, and talk all things Wolves on Monday morning. Thanks once again for listening to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on the biggest stories. You can subscribe to the show anywhere you get podcasts. You can also follow on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast. And we'll catch you next time.